Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to Who Does a Podcast? Damn it. Welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. Doing double duty tonight. It's your boy Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host as always.
What's going on, everybody? Brennan Tassif. I'm infuriated because it looks like my fantasy league doesn't count overtime.
What? That can't be a thing.
Maybe it's just because
I don't know. Just not refreshing yet.
I just checked it and it says that the game is in OT, but it says I have a 0% chance of winning and Kareem Hunt's final score is 11.8 points.
It's like closed his.
Oh, no, it's going up. All right.
Okay. I was like, that can't be true.
It's still going up. Oh, we have a chance. Listeners, you might live listen to me. I am down by 2.5 points with Kareem Hunt, and they're driving the ball. Here we go.
He's got 9 more yards since we last looked at it. Since I last looked at it, he's at 99.
All right, I'm sorry. Let's get into it, Joe. Let's tell the people what we're doing here.
This is Cheers from the Press Box. This is the last one before maybe the nation collapses on its face. And we are going to cover some of the big things in sports, some of the big topics. We have the kickoff where we're going to go over some of the top games in the NFL weekend. We're going to recap right before, when I say the last one of this nation, it's because tomorrow night is when the CFP, is that what they call themselves? The College Football Playoff Committee puts out their first official ranking. So will see what that looks like. It might tear this country apart.
That's what it's going to be.
That's what's going to tear this country apart. We have to recap the final two games of the World Series. Really the last game. Not getting into game 4. Yankees won that one. Good job, guys. It's the only one you got. and we had a spectacular Fulham game. That comes with a bit of a story from me that took place today. So without any further ado, let's get right to it.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
All right, Brennan. It's kind of late. Bum, bum. Don't know if you have the time. Daylight saving took place over the weekend.
Oh,
do
yeah.
you have so the accurate time anywhere?
Yeah, I think the time. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's time for Game of the
game
Week.
Game of the Week. Game of the Week. 4 o'clock window. The NFC West battle for supremacy there. The Rams faced off against the Seahawks. The Rams were getting, I think this was either the first week with both Puka and Cooper back, or this was the second game with them both back. I can't remember. But the game started off pretty rough for both teams, honestly, the scoreless first quarter. And then Seattle jumped out to a lead. And then the Rams tied it up. And then the Seahawks took a lead. But the way the Rams were staying in this game was because Geno kept throwing it to the other team. he had an insane pick six that went to Cam Kitchens, who went to the University of Miami. Shout out, Cam. Really good safety for us. Now really good for the Rams as well. He had another one to Cam in the back of the end zone. And that kept the Rams close in this. And then they went to overtime. And then the Rams won in overtime with probably one of the most spectacular catches in a weekend full of college and pro spectacular catches.
It was chock full. Your guy, Batman.
Man. I mean, it started on Thursday with Garrett Wilson. Was it Garrett Wilson? Yeah, Garrett Wilson's jump catch. That was crazy. Jordan Moore for Duke had a freaking crazy one-hand snag that saved an interception against Miami this weekend. Devontae Smith had one. I was saying DeMarcus Robinson had one. Brennan.
Yes.
Who do you think is the real team coming out of the NFC West between these two?
So this is an interesting thing. Puka Nacua gets ejected for something. I mean, he swung at somebody's helmet, you're not allowed to do that. But at the same time, I didn't think it was an ejectable offense.
Always the dumbest thing to do.
Brian... who was it for the Lions got ejected too. I mean, that one was a little more.
Yeah, that one was a little more
aggressive. But
Brian Branch,
I think everyone saw what happened. Yeah, what happened to Chris, and they were like, okay, we're not going to do that. But
that's one of those. Yeah, that too. But I was going to say that's one of those hockey, like, all right, if that person is going to be out, you got to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Also, targeting is not allowed. So
I think this might sound crazy, but CMC, they keep saying is going to come back, and Jordan Mason's like injured all the time. I think it's the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, but this is the closest division.
You have no belief in Arizona?
No, we see it every year.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they were 8-1 last year, and then they fell apart.
It wasn't last year.
Kyler's
going to
get hurt.
It's 2 years ago.
No, I have no belief in the Rams. Do you? Or not the Rams, the Cardinals. Do you? Well, that was that was a slip.
The cards intrigue me, man. They
real quick, just for our listeners, everyone, I know you're waiting on bated breath. Kareem Hunt just went in for a touchdown. Brennan Tassett wins his fantasy league.
Look at you. What a come from behind victory.
Go. What a come from behind. This guy had 1.8 points all through the first 3.5 quarters. And now I just won fantasy because of this. I lost in my other league, but I'm leading that by like 4 games, so it doesn't matter. Nice. Anyway.
Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you. I can turn this game off.
I think Arizona has a real opportunity. But the Rams, if their defense is going to perform well enough, I think they have a team capable with the two receivers, with some of these other receivers who had to get molded in fire, forged in fire with the last couple of weeks with them both being out. Stafford, building some continuity with those guys. And then Kyren Williams has been really good for them. So I think they have a true opportunity because, as you said, San Francisco doesn't look to be the same San Francisco team that we've seen. Ayuk just suffered an ACL. We don't know if ever Christian McCaffrey will come back to play football. So Brock Purdy has been doing well enough, but I don't know if he's going to be good enough to propel that team, onward with how they're currently set up. The Seahawks. Man, Geno's been playing well, but if he could just clean up some of the stuff, they would be a lot better. DK's out right now, so that's one of the big issues for them. But 3 interceptions, one being a pick six, another one being an interception in the end zone. Like, that's demoralizing.
Do you have faith in Geno?
I never had faith in Geno. And then Geno,
because we saw it happen on this show. Like, we were recording the show when
told us to write and. We wrote him off and he said he ain't writing back, so I root for Geno. I think he is good. I think he's serviceable, but I don't think he is a foundation piece type of quarterback.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Because like, we were on this show when that transition happened, when he went there, and we talked about how he got a tough break with the Jets and maybe he's better than we thought. Like, we had these conversations.
Yeah, and then they let go of Russ and it was like, okay, who's going to be their quarterback? And it's like, Geno.
Yeah, and then he played well. What was that, 2 years ago? He played out of his mind. And then last year they had a lot of injuries. They had two rookies on the offensive line, both tackles that got hurt, and they were playing really well, and then they just got hurt. And then he couldn't. Like, he was getting sacked like crazy and he was under pressure like crazy. And we're like, all right, we'll just chalk that up. I'm only saying this and I'm going to relate this to being a Jags fan. It's because like every year it seems like they have like a decent season. And then every year it's like, oh, well, this happened or that happened. But I think like I'm starting to see the light where it's like, oh, maybe they're just not who we thought they were.
Yeah.
In reference to Geno Smith, and I'm obviously underlying talking about Trevor Lawrence.
I was going to say, I think the thing is, Geno is who we thought he was, because in the sense that a lot of people wrote him off after it didn't work in New York.
Yeah.
But I think the unfortunate thing is, you are what the numbers you put up, the play on the field and whatnot. But like you just mentioned last year where his tackles got hurt, his tackles have gotten hurt secretly, quietly is kept. It's like the before Trent Williams got to San Francisco, every year it looked like in the offseason workouts, their offensive linemen would go down. That happens like week one, week two for the Seahawks. He got sacked 7 times yesterday.
Yeah.
And this is a Aaron Donald-less Rams team now. Let's not forget. We have been asking ourselves, how are they going to generate
pressure?
Shout out to
them. The first time they had a first-round pick in forever, and they took Verse, and that looks like yeah. it's paying off.
So going into the season, we asked how they're going to generate pressure, and they got those two kids out of Florida State, and they've been doing pretty well. But 7 sacks on your quarterback, it's not good. Some of that is on him. He needs to get the ball out a little quicker, but some of that's just he's having no time in the pocket. Now, I mean – and the unfortunate thing is, like, people are going to look at the numbers. They're going to see a loss. They're going to see 3 interceptions. And they're going to be like, you're the issue, when there's multiple things that are probably the issue. But is he an elevator? I never thought that.
Yeah, and I think we have this habit. And by we, I mean the royal we, where we can be the prisoner of the moment. We're seeing it now with Sam Darnold. And I'm, like you said, I'm similar to what you said about Geno, I feel the way about Sam Darnold, where it's like I'm very happy for him. I have the capacity in my heart to be happy for him, but also to know that this might not be who he is. He might. I mean, we saw it with Kirk Cousins. We saw it with Case Keenum in that Vikings year. Like we, but I'm saying we see this.
No, you're right.
But I think we get trapped into this prisoner of the moment situation where they're playing well. Baker's a great example, where they're playing well and we're like, oh, this is who they've always been. We just never saw it. And then they'll revert back to their old ways and we're like, oh, no, I think we were right.
I think the poster boy for this has ties to the team on the other side of the field. Jared Goff going to Detroit. We all thought, oh, this is a stopgap. This is not a serious quarterback. And now he looks like he can't throw an incompletion, damn near.
Yes, they have more touchdowns on offense than incompletions.
Like, it's insane.
Total.
So I think the way that has played out, people have thought to themselves, like, maybe that can be what Sam Darnold becomes. Maybe that can be what Geno becomes. Maybe that resurgence, like people quit on, could have like a second life to their career. And
well, I mean, we saw with Gardner Minshew for 3 different teams.
And my thing
I'm being
is,
serious though. We did.
No, you're right. But my thing is, what is in, I just came off of Who Does a Podcast in musical terms. Like, when does that clock strike 12 and that, you know, chariot turns into a pumpkin?
Yeah.
For Geno, it's a little sooner. For Jared Goff, last year we saw that in the postseason where they're going for it on 4th down and he throws it into the dirt. Where everybody wants to complain about them going for it on 4th down. And I'm like, okay, but you have to execute as a quarterback.
Yeah, it is just – and this is why I think I'm going to the Rams, because Kyle Shanahan – it's interesting because everyone's like – I keep hearing all these talking heads talking about how Shanahan's a genius. And I'm like, we were talking about the same guy who lost the Super Bowl, right? When he was 28-3?
3 of them.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, what do we – and you can see Brock Purdy is playing better than the last pick in the draft, 100%. But you can see the flaws with that scheme when they start to lose pieces. And I think I'm going to ride with McVay and Stafford, at least for this year. I know Stafford's hurt because he's always hurt.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, he's almost 40, and he's playing behind that offensive line in Detroit forever. Like, I understand. It's not a dig. I'm just saying, like, the man's been beat up in his career. But, like, I would take that. This Matthew Stafford broke every rookie record with Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, I'm taking the Rams. Verse looks like he's for real. And I think they have enough. I mean, we saw that catch by DeMarcus Robert. Like, I think they have enough to win the West, NFC West.
No doubt.
I had to qualify that with a lot.
From the West to the AFC East. The Bills take on the Dolphins. The Dolphins, this is the second week back, having Tua back. They look good with him out there. They're able to move the ball. They're able to put up points. There was about 3 weeks there where it was like freaking watching paint dry as far as that offense was concerned. And they've definitely fixed that having Tua back. But in those 2 games with Tua back, including this one, they've lost both of those games, Brennan.
Yeah.
What is the issue that ails the Dolphins?
I don't know. I mean, Waddle had a couple of big drops this week. He had a couple of huge drops last week. I don't know what he's bringing to the table. He had like negative 4 yards.
Damn.
But a touchdown. Like, it's, it might have been because of that lateral. I didn't see the final.
Yes, because it's not marked down as a rushing play. Yes, it's because of the lateral. But yeah, even though he only had 2 catches, that's crazy.
He had 2 catches for negative 4 yards, and then
he had 2 catches for positive yards. But I think that lateral gets put onto numbers, even though it's not a catch.
But still, his longest was 12 yards. He had a touchdown, which is good. But I don't know. They have the weapons. Tua looks good. The defense doesn't look terrible, even though they're missing a bunch of pass rushers. But they just, like the Bills game, I didn't think they would win. But that Cardinals game, Tua's first game back, it's at home. You expect them to win that, and they almost did. It is bizarre. Tua, only his second game back, is already getting a little run happy. I don't know if you saw that, but he was starting to like not slide as intently as he did in the Cardinals game. I wanted, going into that Cardinals game, I thought, oh, well, Tua back, they're going to look good. And the offense looked cognizant. It looked good. But then they just didn't win it. And I didn't think they were going to win against the Bills, even though Josh Allen played like doo-doo water for the first half. So this goes back to what we're talking about with Geno. It's like, there are quarterbacks that I trust to elevate my team, and that would be a Patrick Mahomes, that would be a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson. But then there's other quarterbacks that are good. There's no argument that he's good, that offense goes because of him, and we saw that with Skylar Thompson in there. But I don't think they can elevate to that next tier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're bringing, like, you have some of the best, you have the one of the fastest players in the NFL, and Tyreek Hill. Devon Achane is not right very far behind him as far as speed, and they run all these motions and Mostert. He was a leading touchdown score. Yeah, like it's like you don't have bad players on the team.
But did we talk about this? Would you all have been in the same realm? No, because he's still playing right now. I don't think, because you're what, 36?
No, because he's not a 36-year-old running.
Yeah, back. I was like, he's not 36.
It's only quarterbacks at this point. But it's just one of those weird things where it's like, I like
Tua. Yeah, he's 32. So he was like just, a class right behind you.
Yeah. I just don't think that he can elevate this team to where they want to be. And now the season is
my
shot.
Thing is, and I'll pose this to you, is it Tua alone? In the sense that, do we need to start looking at Mike McDaniels? Because this team in the last 2 years is 1-8 against winning teams.
Yeah.
That's not only
so you're saying
on
they're a good bad team.
They're a high level bad team. Yeah. They are Kyle Shanahan light. They went and got Kyle Shanahan's. Was he even the OC that year, or was he like an assistant? I know he was in charge of the run game. He was the run game coordinator. Yeah, Mike McDaniels. I know he was a run game coordinator. I can't remember if he was also the OC that year.
I don't think he was ever the OC. We'll get research on that. But
yeah,
I understand what you're asking, but I think
so. My thing is his ceiling as a coach?
Yeah,
so high.
And that's the thing is like I don't want to say yes. But it's the NFL. The NFL is hard. We all know that. And I don't want to say yes because of coaches like Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl.
He was the OC. He was a run game coordinator. He was the OC for 1 year.
Got it. But like you see coaches out there where like I want to stand on a soapbox and say winning is hard. Like if that's the ceiling, you take that as a Miami fan, you know, 9-8 or 10-7. You would take that at like a chance to get into the playoffs. Like, I mean, I would take that shit, but it's hard, but it's also a lot of variables that go into it. Like I said, when someone like Doug Peterson can win a Super Bowl or like, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to say that this is a ceiling, like the style of offense they have, obviously it's a little different because of the fact that Tua was out for so long, but also I think the NFL is fun,
but
because not a lot of teams are good.
I'll posit you this though. You invoke the name of Doug Peterson. We'll get to him shortly. But we also have in that consideration have to take also in that fact we have to take in consideration that Doug Peterson was a longtime coordinator before getting that Eagles job.
Yeah.
Whereas Mike McDaniels had been coaching for quite some time, but only got the OC job for 1 year, then was given a head coaching job.
I will say this. I will say this experiment, quote unquote, with these young, like 28 to 32 year old head coaches that are supposed to be geniuses.
I don't think there's any 28 head coaches.
I think this whole experiment with these like 32 to 35 year old head coaches that are supposed to be like savants and geniuses, I think that experiment might be to a close.
Speaking of, what is the name of the guy who was the Chargers coach last year?
Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley. Thank you, Brennan. Mm. Oh, could not think of this man's name. Brennan, you want to know a funny little stat here I got for you?
You know you have a computer in your pocket, right?
Yeah, but it was a tweet, so I got to go find the tweet.
Well, you're finding that. I think Mike McDaniel's a good coach. I don't think that the answer is firing him because they see that the system works when everyone's good. Not even good. Like,
but again, my whole thing is the system is good beating up on bad teams. Whenever they're facing a good team, doesn't really look that good.
Yeah, you're right. But I don't think that's... I mean, how long has he been there? 3 years now? 4 years?
3 years, I want to say.
Yeah, so I think you give him a little more time. I think they need to get to the bottom of this whole, hey, your quarterback that wasn't even supposed to be like this end-all be-all quarterback got hurt and your whole system falls apart. I think they need to figure that out before they figure out anything else.
So the young coach thing reminded me of Brandon Staley, who was the DC for 1 year with the Rams before getting the head coaching job for the Chargers. Brennan, I can't remember when he became the head coach. I don't think he won the Super Bowl. I think he was there the year before the Super Bowl team. I don't think. Now you got me looking up the. Damn it, Brennan, why are you doing this to me?
Sorry, you go ahead.
He was the Super Bowl DC. I got to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, excuse me, folks. That was a hard sneeze.
Head coach. Raheem Morris was the DC.
That's what I said. Raheem Morris won.
Which was the issue I had because Staley got a head coaching job after 1 year. Raheem Morris won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a head coaching job for many years. So
yeah, he left the year after
Staley.
The year before,
the Chargers defense ranked in 2020, 23rd. In 2021, they ranked 29th. In 2022, they ranked 21st. In 2023, they ranked 24th. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're a defensive coordinator and supposed to be this defensive genius, you should probably have a better defense, right?
Yeah, and I would point to more evidence. Robert Saleh, defensive coach, head coach, takes over a team. The offense is abysmal. The ownership probably is like, we took Zach Wilson this high. You're playing Zach Wilson. And the defense always top five, always top five, always had dudes. And it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Funny thing is, Chargers right now, this is scoring defense. Let me be specific on that. Scoring defense. Chargers scoring defense right now, Brennan. You want to know what it is?
Seven.
First.
No, get the fuck out of here.
First in scoring defense. Jim Harbaugh, funny enough, not a defensive head coach.
At all.
Some guys are coaches. And yeah, some guys 100%. Are not.
So are you putting Mike McDaniel in the not category?
My thing is, I think he got a job too early. I think he might have need more seasoning before being given the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's why I'm saying it's like I got to wait and see. But I do completely agree. And that's why I'm kind of standing on this mountaintop being like this whole like hiring these super young guys to come in and take over. That's done.
I don't know how
Belichick. It's going to be Vrabel. It's going to be Robert Saleh will probably get another shot. It's not going to be these like 36-year-old or not even 32-year-old coordinators coming in and being like, I'll fix it. Even
I think
Mike McDonald in Seattle is like 37. Yeah.
I think rare is your Sean McVay, rare is your Mike Tomlin's. But
we've talked about this before. Every one Josh Allen spawns 10,000 copycats. We just have to give him more time. Same thing with Sean McVay. Every Sean McVay spawns 10,000. Hey, let's just give this guy a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's the one time a week where I get to just laugh at the Dallas Cowboys for losing.
I was wondering why you put this
in the run. You would think they would not lose. Dak Prescott looked abysmal.
Went out with an injury.
He went out with an injury.
Camera saying this team fucking sucks.
He did say that. His words, not mine. CeeDee Lamb was 2 for 15 in this game. There was a end around fourth down play that got stopped in its tracks that he was running. I believe he also suffered an injury and had to leave this game. The Falcons look good, man. I think.
Yeah.
I think we said it in our preseason preview. We were iffy on the Kirk Cousin Penix thing, but they redeemed themselves going right into the season, preseason, picking up some key defensive guys, and that defense looks a lot better. They actually probably, funny enough, you know, I think a lot of people owe the GM some credit. Probably makes more sense getting some veteran guys than getting some young guys, guys with NFL experience, understanding the rhythm and flow of how everything goes. But yeah, their defense is playing great. Kirk has been playing fantastic. I think the biggest difference with Kirk versus Ritter, aside talent, is Kirk is standing in the pocket, man. Like, there was an all-out blitz that the Cowboys ran yesterday, and he stood in the pocket, saw that it was man coverage on the outside, threw it over the top, dotted Darnell Mooney for a touchdown.
Darnell Mooney, man, this fucking guy. You had mentioned, you were like, oh, I think we talked about that earlier, about the Cardinals, about the Atlanta Falcons. So I went back just to see where they were in my power rankings at the beginning of the season. I was way off on a lot of these teams. I had the Commanders 29th.
Well, the Commanders, neither of us foresaw Jaden Daniels being the second coming.
Actually, yeah, my bottom 25 I stand by other than the Commanders.
Yeah, like,
Panthers, Patriots, I'm not really Titans, pressed Giants, on Saints, that one. Broncos. Yeah. So, like, I wasn't that far off. But I find
Falcons, I had Falcons 13th.
Yeah, I had them 19th, so I'm like fighting around that playoff spot.
I did have the Commanders ahead of the Giants, I'll tell you that much.
I did not. I was stupid. But yeah, I think this Falcons team, we've seen it. We were all sitting here saying that Philly game, no offense, was over. Remember?
Yeah.
Scott Van Pelt even said after the broadcast, it looks like it's going to be a Philly win. I'm going to interview someone from the Eagles. And then they ended up like we've seen Atlanta stay in this game. And to your point,
but
they have so many offensive weapons.
I will say though, with this game, they were in control the whole time.
Yeah, there wasn't even a question. But that's what I'm saying is like I think this Atlanta team is more resilient than I gave them credit for. And I think, and I'm not saying resilient like, oh, they came back from a loss, but like they're going into this game and it's like, no, we're better than this team. Fuck the Cowboys. Yeah. Like, who were the Cowboys?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like some teams, the Baltimore Ravens is a great example. Some teams play down to their opponent sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think this Atlanta team is doing that. I think this Atlanta team is like hanging.
Yeah. No, they got a good. We've said for the last couple of years, they have the bones of a great team.
Yeah. They just Kyle need Pitts, to kind of taking him where together. They took him, Drake London, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Like they, Tyler Algier, even like they have a good team. And Darnell Mooney came out of, I mean, not nowhere. He was, you know, number two in Chicago. But
yeah, he
still.
Was the one at one point, then became the two when they went and got DJ Moore.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And then Jesse Bates had already been playing really well last year.
Yeah, Jesse Bates. Gosh, that guy is so good.
AJ Terrell had already been playing really well.
Who are you taking, Jesse Bates or Kevin Hamilton? Kyle Hamilton.
I'm taking Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, Jesse Bates is better. Safety for safety's sake, he's a ball hawk.
He's gonna, a ball hawk. I was just going to say,
but Kyle Hamilton is
he's better like playing the ball, but Kyle
you can put Kyle Hamilton everywhere. And yeah, he's
you can
be
put
a problem.
Kyle Hamilton on the defensive line.
I was you can
sacks.
Put him on the line. You can put him at every level of the defense, and it's gonna be he's not gonna look out of place.
Yeah, 100%. But this Atlanta team, I think, is for real. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just now losing Monday Night Football, I think they are in full control of the NFC South.
Shout out to Tampa, even though losing that game. Sorry, they're without their top three receiving targets. Like yeah. McMillan also missed this game. We know Godwin suffered that injury last week. Sorry, 2 weeks ago.
Did you see what he
said
in the cart?
No. Godwin?
I saw this on TikTok, but like, you know, some of those creators on TikTok will like zoom in and like catch like things you never even thought were possible to catch. He looked at the trainer and he was like crying almost. And he looked at the trainer and he goes, my career is over.
Yeah.
And the trainer just kind of nodded and he was like, yeah, it's over. And I was like, dude, that hit me so hard in the feels when I saw that.
That's tough.
But yeah, like I feel so bad for Tampa because Baker has been playing. Baker's going into last week, Baker had 24 touchdowns on the season.
I think after tonight, he was already the number one touchdown getter. I think he was at 21, whereas Lamar and Joe Burrow were at 20. And I want to say
passing touchdowns?
Yeah, passing touchdown. I want to say he had another two tonight. So I think he leads the league in touchdowns.
He had 24 overall touchdowns 2 weeks ago when Patrick Mahomes had 8 touchdowns and 9 picks or 7 touchdowns.
Did Patrick Mahomes get hurt in this game?
Yeah, he busted up his ankle, but he came back. He does that. Trust me, as someone who played them in the playoff, like he does that.
He once dislocated his knee and kept playing. I think he took like a week or two off, but then kept playing.
But like I feel bad for Tampa, but this is Atlanta's division. And Atlanta has proven that, and they just I don't want to say boat race Dallas, but like Dallas did not belong out there.
They handled.
Yeah, very clearly. And Ezekiel Elliott's been cut from the team now, apparently for insubordination.
Did he get cut?
He hasn't been officially cut, but the team is like.
Okay, I know they didn't blame him because they were like.
In the NBA where they tell you just
missed
to go,
some practices.
Go sit home.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But
I think he was upset not about not getting his playing time.
Yeah, think the second. Stint of Zeke Elliott was going to go.
Yeah, you let him go because he wasn't playing well enough, and then you brought him back 3 years later.
Yeah, thinking he'd play better.
What? All right, let's get to the real thing.
All right.
Yo, Tommy! I didn't hear no bell. One more round.
All right, one more round. First one, I'll let Brennan get the first stab at this. Jags at Philadelphia. Brennan, go.
So this wasn't a game until it was. By the way, Saquon Barkley was down. He got hit. I watched that replay. But they didn't call it, and then they didn't change it on the field, so I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
You can only play with the pieces that are in front of you, I guess. But yeah, the Jaguars scored 16 points. And by the way, I've heard some talking heads be like, and they got 2 two-point conversions. That's the only thing we've been able to do this year is get 2-point conversions.
Yeah, that was crazy.
When we go for them, we get them a lot. So it's like, I know our team hasn't been playing well, but like that's one thing that we've been pretty good
at. To hang your hat on, like, we're fucking getting two.
Yeah. Brian Thomas just always gets open. he has like 4 of them on the year. Damn. But it wasn't a game, and then we scored 16 points in like 14 seconds, and then it was a game. So
craziness.
It was Trevor Lawrence threw the pick in the end zone. You can't throw a fade route to a running back. Like, what the fuck? I was super stoked. Immediately sent it to the Discord. N'Kobe Dean's my guy. I've ridden for N'Kobe Dean for you laugh. Like, you know how much
I know, N'Kobe but Dean. It's just funny. When at first, I couldn't tell round, if you were facetious
like,
or not.
N'Kobe Dean's my dude, man. Everyone's like, he's too small. But he was everywhere on that Georgia defense. And then it takes linebackers like tight ends a couple years to get going in the NFL. And he was hurt a little bit because he is smaller. But now he's going, and that dude can play. He caught the interception, for those of you wondering. But this is Trevor Lawrence's MO. He throws it high. When the game is on the line, he throws it high.
We talked about that a bunch.
Evan Ingram last year in the playoffs, or to make it to the playoffs. Like, this is what he does. 4th and 2, Evan Ingram, or his 4th and 6, goes out, has the first down, 4 yards over his head. And he was hurt last year. I don't know what his excuse is now. Doug Peterson, I'm over this. He does not want to take the reins from Press Taylor. And Press Taylor is calling. We had three and out, like six drives in a row, I think. It was like ridiculous. Like,
there was a point in the game where you guys had only ran 13 plays.
Yeah.
And Saquon had like that. 15 touches.
Yeah, I saw that. Another thing that I'm pretty upset with is, I hate to say this because he's a very dynamic player. And when he's out there, when he does make plays, you're like, I love this guy.
You got to bench
Travis,
him. He's done.
Travis Etienne is too much. It's
a liability. He's a liability.
It's a liability. He fumbled into the end zone, and that's how we lost week one.
Interception should have happened.
He tapped the ball up in the air to cause a pick. Like, I when Travis is right, he's a great running back. But you've cost us now, single-handedly, you've cost us three games this year. You cost us two games last year to make the playoffs, single-handedly, like fumbling into the end zone. He did that. He's done that three times in 4 years, fumbled into the end zone. Like, you're as talented as he is, I would rather have Tank Bigsby, who can break one off every now and then, than have this dynamic running back who fumbles or causes turnovers constantly. Trevor does that enough already. We don't need two people in the backfield to do that.
Couple of Clemson turnovers cutting it up.
And one thing I do want to say, and I'll just say this from the Jags fan watching this game from a Phillies perspective, you guys are that team bails Nick Sirianni out of so many bad decisions.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is why I don't want us to win these kind of games, because I want Doug to get gone. Whereas you guys are going to be with Nick because the team wins these games.
It's a catch 22. I think I put that in the Discord. I was like, another week where the team bails Nick Sirianni out. The Eagles.
How do you run the tush push twice and then just give up on it?
So we got that first one, by the way. That ball crossed the plane, and I don't know what the fuck the ref was looking at.
Yeah, it's a double obvious pile.
I was about to say, when he's falling to the ground, because that they don't whistle it dead until it quote unquote is dead. So by the time he's even going to the ground, he stretches it out and puts it. He crosses the plane that way. I'm like, he crossed the plane like three times.
And I was listening to a podcast this morning. They're like, the Jags figured out the tush push. I was like, well, we were one of two, but they called
I was like, you guys were one of two. But I mean, you got even last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago, where you guys came and played us in the rain as well?
2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, 2 years ago, you guys probably put up the best defense against the tush push as well.
I want to say this. I texted this to you. I think I said it in the Discord. Maybe not. But the defense is not the problem. Other than one Saquon draw that they ran, because we all thought they were going to throw it, because it was third and fucking six going into halftime.
It was third and 17.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Third and 17. Like, that was, okay, a lapse in judgment. Yeah. But the defense played stout. It was turnovers and three and outs
and special plays.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. You can't leave defense on the field the whole game. Yeah, like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this defense isn't bad. It's just by the third quarter, when you've been out there, like, when the time of possession is so drastically different, you get tired, man.
I got to go over to Football Reference to see the difference in plays ran.
What did you think about while you're doing that, Devonta Smith, you call him Batman. I don't know if that's his nickname.
Skinny
but
Batman. I would say Batman. He's Smitty, but I think it was 2 years ago where it became kind of a thing where AJ is swole Batman, and then Devonta's skinny Batman.
Yeah, AJ went out in this game. Devonta Smith doesn't get any love from Jalen Hurts if AJ Brown is in the game. that's just what I've heard from fantasy owners, but
it's not true. I would say they get two different things. AJ will get touchdowns. He gets the explosive. He'll get the explosive plays. He'll get a lot of those in breaking routes as well. But Devonta is consistently going to get you about six catches for about 70 plus yards.
Yeah. I do want to say this. When he made that catch, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but when you see something so miraculous, the Saquon run and then that catch, both times I was like, all right, you got it. All right, you can have that one.
No, I do that all the time. I am the king of just a great play, man. I can't do anything. I can't even see that. Like, there was a catch.
That was perfect catch. Coverage, and he just leapt out and got it.
As I alluded to, there was a spectacular catch in the Miami Duke game where the Duke player, like the quarterback, threw it a little too high. The Duke players were running one way, has to stop, jump back, one hand in the air. Literally, if he doesn't make this catch, there's a defender like this. Only Brennan can see this, but a defender in prime
arms
catching
cradled,
position,
ready to catch the
and
interception.
The guy snatches it out of the air, and I literally sent a text to my group chat that is full of jackals. I got nothing but Canes and FSU fans in there. I'm the only Canes. A bunch of Gators and FSU fans. I'm the only Canes fan in there. And everybody was like, wow, wow, wow. And then my text comes in. I'm like, it's a hell of a catch, man. I can't do anything. But I was like, shit, that was just an amazing catch.
Well,
what can I say?
Is, like, when the game is played a certain way, you can't, as
you just
a
have
fan,
to appreciate it.
Yeah, as a fan, you appreciate it. And that's the stuff I appreciate. But like when it's like penalties and stupid turnovers, yeah, that as a fan is what frustrates me. Like if we just get beat, we just get beat. But if you're turning the ball over in the end zone, which we did, or like tipping a ball up and then it's getting picked off. Like that's the shit where I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
38 minutes to 21 minutes in time of possession. 79 plays to 54 plays.
Yeah, that's basically a whole quarter that they had extra.
It's pretty aggressive.
Were you nervous at all in that final drive?
Of course I get nervous. Watching the Eagles is nothing but nerves.
Well, I didn't know if it was one of those things where you
the
guys
first
knew
half.
It was coming.
This was annoying. This was an annoying game actually because at the first half it's 16 and I'm like, yeah, we left some points on the board, but we're in control. We're good. Like you know. And then I think did we score again first? Yeah, we scored again first.
It was 22-0.
And then you guys scored, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you're gonna give up one. Defense is not gonna get a clean sheet. And then I just felt like the NFL was like trying us off the Saquon joint.
Because
yeah,
it happened within like two plays.
Yeah, it was. I want to say it was the next play.
Yeah,
like you guys scored, got the 2-point conversion. The next play is this fumble that's not a fumble, and I'm like when it happened, it's one of those like, oh, they're just letting them run it out. Obviously, this is gonna get called back.
Yeah, I was running around my apartment
obviously,
screaming because I didn't see any flags on the
this
play.
This is not a fumble. I'm
as
like,
soon as they replayed it, I was like, God damn it.
They replayed it, and I'm like, this is not a fumble. Devin McCourty, Tiki Barber, like, yeah, I don't think this is a fumble. And then it gets overturned. They're like, well, maybe it wasn't enough contact, you know? And then they come, you guys, they give you the score, go to commercial, come back. They got the rules expert. And the rules expert's like, I don't know how they didn't overturn this. Yeah.
How did you feel about the whole Jake Elliott situation?
I was annoyed for Jake. Kicked the
field goals.
For those
of you listening, Jake Elliott is the kicker. Yeah, he Nick Sirianni wasn't kicking like at all in this game.
Yeah,
and then sent him out there for a
57-yarder. Like,
game. Yeah,
now is when you want me to do this? Like, what the heck is the guy? But some of those I felt. I mean, look, I can't be the hypocrite saying Detroit, go for every two. I love it from Dan Campbell. And then when the Eagles do it, I'm like, what are you doing? No, some of the decisions I thought were the right decision. I was like, you know what? Go for it. Like, put your foot on their neck, stomp them out, take their life away. You know, look at their soulless, lifeless eyes continue to demolish this opponent. But after a couple didn't go our way, it's like, all right, man. You know, you got to call a spade a spade. We don't have it today.
You got to cut your losses like, at some point.
Don't got it today,
doubling
man.
Doubling down, you end up like my
team.
Yeah.
I'm like, you double down. Now it's a 5-point game. They're driving. They can get a touchdown. It's like, oh, great. Of course, this is how this is going to happen. And then you get bailed out by N'Kobe Dean making a spectacular play in the end
zone.
So, great job out of him.
It was
him.
A good game. I mean, it was a great game. I said this to you, but I'll say it to the listeners. The Jags have lost 5 games now by
crazy.
5 points or fewer. That is a culture thing. That is a coaching thing. That is a front office thing. That is not a team thing. So that is what needs to get changed.
That could also be.
That is a coaching, a culture, and a front office thing. I'm not going to hear any other thing on.
But my thing is, that is also a luck of the draw situation. That's like the flip side of the Vikings a couple years ago, the Eagles last year.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the Vikings.
Like, you know, sometimes you win them, sometimes you lose them. Sometimes there's like another gear you have to unlock, whether it be in the coaching, front office, players.
The fumbling into the end zone, the turnovers, a lot of that comes down. Like, yeah, players can be turnover prone, but like you need to get someone to rein that in.
Not for nothing. You guys are missing two of your top three receivers. You guys had like two offensive linemen leave this game in the middle of this game.
I was incredibly stoked when the defense was playing other than that lapse in judgment, because like obviously, like we said, some of those plays were just magnificent. But other than that lapse of judgment on the Saquon Barkley draw, this game was like the defense was playing well. And I was like, yeah, this is what happens. We only have two all pros on this defense. Well, three, including Hines Allen. We have three all pros on this defense. Two of them, our star middle linebacker and our star corner, have been out for like 4 weeks. And then they finally come back and it's like, okay, cool. You know, we held this team. I mean, if you take away that one crazy score, we held this team to under 20 points. And even if you count that crazy score, it's like the defense was on the field for an extra quarter. You read the stat.
Yeah.
And they still only held them to 22.
And like, mind you, that's with us getting, I won't even count the Kobe Dean interception, an interception and a fumble on the punt return as well.
Like, so, yeah.
You guys held up your end of the bargain. So.
It was a great game. Can't even be mad.
It was a very fun game. All right, 3-2 went way too long.
It was a great fourth quarter. Let me rephrase it. It was a great fourth quarter.
One more round.
Terrible game.
Cincinnati goes crazy. 5 points. There was a pick six by Joe Burrow. Really just wanted the news-y part of this game. The entire offensive staff of the Las Vegas Rams has been fired. Let go. So. Do with that what you will. Also, I think Baker got benched again. Not Baker. Fuck. It made them the same person. Gardner Minshew had got benched again for Desmond Ritter. Did. So.
One more round.
All right. Panthers kick a field goal, win this game against the Saints at Carolina. The Saints, since this loss, have fired Dennis Allen, their head coach, who I think is like 8-18 as the Raiders head coach, and now he's got some sort of abysmal record. The Saints look like they had the great
8 games. Oh, no, yeah, they won 2 games.
Seven in a row. The Saints look like they had the greatest offense of the 21st century in the first 2 games. And then in their last set, they scored 114 points in their first 2 games, I think it was. And then in the last 7, they've only scored like 180 or 200 points. So it was like a steep drop.
They played the Eagles and everything went to shit.
Yeah. You know it. They went from scoring 29.9 points a game in their first two to 16.7 in their last 7. So it was pretty abysmal. Head coach Dennis Allen is out. Defensive minded coach anyway. But yeah, they got beat by Carolina. Bryce Young came in. Doesn't look like not the future.
Still not great.
But. Still not great, but
gotta win.
Didn't lose this game for him, so that was good.
Good for him.
One more round.
Singing in the rain. The Detroit Lions sing to another victory over the Green Bay Packers. The Packers don't look to be spectacular, as some people made them out to be.
Jordan Love might be hindering this team with how hurt he is.
Yeah, he may be too hurt for his own good. I didn't think he was going to play in this game after what happened last week in the Jags game. I didn't think he was going to play in this game. And then I look at the call sheet.
I said this last week.
And he was first on the call sheet.
Real quick, Trayvon Walker didn't – like that bump, it wasn't the injury. I see people replaying like Trayvon Walker bumping into him. Like, that's where he got hurt. I'm like, no, it's not. He barely bumped him. Keep
but
my
yeah.
boy's name out your mouth.
Wow, now he's your boy. You've been killing him for the last 2 seasons.
he had a scoop and score.
He did have a not real scoop and score.
An unsanctioned scoop and score.
Detroit did what they were able to do, playing in the rain. They ran the ball effectively. They made passes, key passes when need be. The defense stepped up, had a pick six. Detroit looks good, still rolling. The defense looks good, held Green Bay to 14 points only. And that's one touchdown and a 2-point conversion. It really held them in check, honestly.
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean,
I was talking to
more of the same out of Detroit.
Really big Detroit Lions fan and
Bomani Jones?
No, actor, comedian, and
Keegan Michael Key?
Yes, I was. So
I know Keegan, he's a big Lions fan.
Keegan came in on Saturday, Saturday, and we were talking about this game. And I know
this
he's
was after
Lions
his
fan.
Rally with Kamala and, Harris yep. and Cardi B.
Yeah, they were exhausted. every time they come in, they just talk about how hungry and tired they are. But he came in, and it's noted on this podcast. Growing up, I was a Detroit Lions fan. I didn't really have a team, and I always wanted to root for the underdogs. And I thought the silver, black and blue was cool as shit. So I always rooted for the Lions because when they do those black uniforms, oof,
I hate those.
Fucking, I love those.
I hate unnecessary black uniforms. This is not a team where black is a primary color. What are you doing? Grow up. Stop catering to children.
Well, I was going to say, as a kid, when I played in high school and they entered, you love the black jerseys, baby. Sick. But anyway, I said to Keegan, I said, hey, how do you feel about this game? And he goes, I don't know. I'm a little worried because Green Bay could actually give us a run. And I brought up the thing where I was like, yes, it will be Jared Goff's first game outside. And
that was crazy.
As a legitimate fan.
He didn't realize it.
No, as a legitimate fan of the Lions and me as someone who like follows a lot of sports, we both were kind of like, yeah, this might actually be a thing though, because he's like known for like playing well indoors, but when he has to get out in the elements, he kind of is bad. And then it didn't fucking matter.
I was like, wow, you guys tried to Matt Ryan him.
Yeah, we were kind of like, we kind of like looked at each other like, is it going to be a thing?
The reason I would be
He's
not worried
tiny
about
hands,
it,
man.
The reason I would not be worried about it is because, I mean, I'm not saying Berkeley is Wisconsin in the middle of December or early November, but Berkeley gets cold and he played Cal.
Yeah,
he played at Cal. Yeah. So.
No, you're right. It's just because I heard it on so many different podcasts.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Shows,
I didn't realize it until
I brought
the game
it up to
started.
Him and we kind of, we looked at each other like, wait,
I'm like, week
is
nine?
Gonna be
it's
bad?
The first game outside?
Yeah, outside.
And it was wet and rainy
Didn't
and
matter.
Everything. It was
Didn't good. Matter. Shout Didn't out matter to David about. Montgomery running, as Joe likes to say, like he's angry at the ground. and also taking a lot of his touches
him.
Away from Jameer Gibbs, who I was playing against in fantasy. Thank
but
you, David
Jameer
Montgomery.
Got the touchdown, so thank you for that. There was one other thing I was going to say.
Sorry, I cut you off because I thought you were going to finish and go right into everyone's favorite game, so I wanted to catch it.
There was some
hard flex. Keegan,
going...
my friend, Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah,
I just call Keegan. Him Key, but, you know, for the listeners.
I'm not going to remember the thing I was going to say. So, to play the game, everybody's loving.
Everyone's favorite game that's sweeping the nation. We're talking NCAA football. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Hosted by the one and only Joe Dorville.
Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Brennan, which one would you like to hear first?
Let's go with who's in and who's out. Let's
who's
keep it
in,
crazy.
Who's out? You know I love it. Illinois, or as some people like to say, Illinois is not making any noise because they are out of the top 25. Along with Missouri, the Mizzou Tigers have found themselves out of the top 25. Bringing us, though, Louisville coming in at number 25. And Vandy, after taking down Auburn, Vandy finds themselves in the top 25. They're sitting at number 24.
How do you see who's in and out? How do you see this?
You go to the rankings. You scroll. And then you see NR next to a team. That means the previous week they were not ranked. And then you see who was dropped from the rankings.
Got it.
And that's who you know who's in.
All right, I'm with
and
you.
And who's out. All right. And your big falls this week, who's up and who's down, your big falls are Kansas State falling 5 spots after taking an L. Can't remember to who, though.
If you hit complete rankings, it'll show you who they played to get in that spot.
Oh, wow. How have I not been doing this? Oh,
I just found
what
it.
What a
you, every
saint.
Week you're always like, I forget who they played. So I wanted to. I just clicked on it just to see what it would give me.
I think I knew that like when I was a kid, and I just have not
this
hit
gonna
that
change
since
the game
like
for
12.
Everybody. This is going to change America's favorite game.
He's going to update America's favorite game. Kansas State. That's right. They lost to Houston. Houston doing the Lord's work there, being K-State. SMU beating Pitt. SMU beat Pitt. That was a big ACC game.
They jumped seven spots.
I don't know if people are aware of that. Big ACC battle there. Clemson,
SMU keep winning.
Clemson fell eight spots after their loss to Louisville. That's how Louisville found their way into the top 25. Iowa State lost to Texas Tech, 1-point loss. Crazy. Texas A&M lost to South Carolina. Boat race. Shout out to the young Beamer, not Frank, Scott Beamer. He is the coach at South Carolina. They beat Texas A&M 44-20. Ohio State beat Penn State. Penn State fell three spots. And that's it for your major drops.
I don't get it. South Carolina is good. They have a great pass rush. Why are they like...
They don't win enough.
Yeah, they lost to LSU.
They should have beat Alabama. They lost to Alabama.
They should have. That's the one they should have won. They should have beat LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, they're tight in both of those games. Yeah, they should have beat both of them. Yeah, that's
you hate to see it.
You hate to see it, but you love to see it. As far as your biggest jumps, you have... coming from the bottom up, you got two spots for Washington State and Colorado. You have three spots for the Army. We salute you. Thank you for your service after they beat Air Force 20-3. We got Ole Miss going out three spots. Shout out to the Lane Train after beating Arkansas 63-31.
Thank you, Kevin. Shout out. He's sober now.
Is he fully and completely?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. He mentioned, I saw something on TikTok about it.
Wow, look at him.
He should be, though, because when he was at FAU, he had a Tinder profile was going under Jake Sweetwater.
After it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at the Blue Lagoon all the time. Yeah.
Sure his wife loved it.
SMU jumped up seven spots after beating Pitt in that game, 48-25. Boise State with Alshon Jenty. They jumped up three spots to number 12, so now they're in the top 12. Alabama moved up three spots for not doing anything, just, you know, existing, breathing, watching other teams lose. BYU got to nine. Well, they're stuck at nine, sorry. Indiana
Ashton,
is the team.
Ashton, I'm sorry.
Indiana jumped up five spots after beating Michigan State to now be number eight. So your top 12 right now going into tomorrow again. The nation depends on this. Your college football playoff ranking. Oregon 1. They stayed. They remain. Georgia 2. They have one loss. Just want that to people reminded of that. Also, they played a very close game with Florida there. Florida was leading for quite some time. They had lost their quarterback. They had to bring in what is now their third quarterback on the season. And then Georgia was able to prevail late in that game. They're number 2 in the nation. Ohio State, number 3 in the nation. They beat Penn State. Miami, who, you know, just covered a 20-point spread against Duke. You know, no biggie. Texas, and also Miami, undefeated, 9-0. Texas, 7-1. They're coming in at number 5. Penn State, number 6. Tennessee, number 7. Indiana, number 8. BYU, number 9. Notre Dame, number 10. Alabama, 11. Boise State coming in at number 12. That is your top 12. There's only one... two-loss team in there, and that is Alabama. That is over some undefeated teams. That's over the Army. I feel like the Army deserves that spot. I mean, what are we?
Let's be honest, though. If the Army gets into the playoff, they're going to get boat raced, right?
Do we not have the greatest armed forces in the world?
We do, but that's
the problem. Do you not believe?
You can't have a 300-pound offensive lineman playing for Army.
Do you not believe in these United States, brother?
We'll see after tomorrow.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it hits.
Quick hit.
Ah, the quick hits. The MLB playoffs are officially done. The World Series is over. The Dodgers are your World Series champions. Freddie Freeman, World Series MVP. That fifth inning, huh?
Yeah, so I know this is a little old, but we thought we talked about it, and then we were told by a listener that we had not. Shout out to Kyle. The Yankees had a must win in game 4. They win it. Stay in
went
Yankee
crazy.
Stadium.
The thing yeah. that I the reason I thought that they may win the World Series, they did. As I said, the Dodgers keep giving up 10-run-plus games.
Yeah.
And the Yankees got a 10-run-plus game in game four.
Game five, going into the fourth, Gerrit Cole was pitching out of his mind. Pitched a no-hitter going into the game, the fifth inning. They were up 5-0. And then the defense, which I didn't think was as bad as it was. It's not as bad as it was it?
No.
Aaron Judge has a huge error to kind of start things off. And then
Aaron Judge,
who third,
hadn't had an error all season.
That's what I thought.
Has a blunder where
just
he
drops
just
the ball.
Drops the ball. You have just that. You had Volpe throwing into the dirt, basically missing, and Jazz not corralling that ball to get the runner to third base. You had a blooper that went to first base. Rizzo goes to get it. Gerrit Cole doesn't cover the bag. You're the pitcher. You go cover the first base bag. So he doesn't go get it. Rizzo's up there in no man land. Another guy gets on. And it, you had bases loaded.
It was 5-5 in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, bases loaded. I forgot who got the hit. And then it's like, it's a two runs get scored. And then, yeah, all five runs end up getting scored. The Yankees, they get one back to make it 6-5. Dodgers get two. And that's the ball game.
It was really funny, too, because there was guys in scoring position. And you guys know me. I don't watch a lot of baseball, but I do love competition. I love sports. So, like, I started watching this game because Tracy, my girlfriend, is a huge Yankees fan. Ooh. So we were watching this game together, and I was like, oh, this game's over. And it was interesting because Gerrit starts giving up some hits. No big deal. You're in the fifth inning. This is going to happen. You'll give up a couple of hits. It's the World fucking Series. But I remember saying to her, because the announcer said something like, I think Joe Buck was like, if Gerrit Cole can get out of this inning, because the bases were loaded, they go, if Gerrit Cole can get out of this inning with one, maybe two runs, they're going to be fine. And I remember thinking it was a full count. And I remember thinking, if Gerrit Cole strikes this MFR out, they're going to win this game. And this is the fifth inning, but I was like, if he strikes, and that was the hit that Judge dropped. And I was like, what is happening?
And to make it worse, the runs were scored with two outs.
Yeah, they had him. They literally had them. If Judge catches that, it's over. Let's go to the next, you know, bottom of the fifth or whatever. Next inning, whatever it was.
It was bases got loaded. Two outs.
Yeah, because I remember Joe Buck being like, if you can get away with one run or...
It's not Joe Buck. Kevin.
Yeah. Sorry, I just watched The Comeback on Netflix about Boston, and Joe Buck,
produced by Madlock Media.
That's why I was kind of confused in my head. But the announcer literally goes, "If they
it's
get
the guy
two,
who's doing the games with Brady now."
They go, if they get two runs here, that's fine. If Gerrit Cole can save them and just get one run, they'll be okay. And then error, two runs come in, and you're like, "What is happening?"
Kevin Burkhardt.
That's what I said. Kevin Burkhardt.
But yeah.
It was nuts. I felt so bad for Gerrit Cole because everyone, I live in New York. You guys know that. And Joe, you know that. And going to work, and you and I have talked about this off mic, but let's just put it on wax. Going to work the next day and all these Yankees fans blaming Gerrit Cole and all these Mets fans being like, yeah, Gerrit Cole fucking sucks. I was like, did you guys not watch that? And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an outsider and I like don't watch a lot of baseball, but I was like, that dude was throwing heat, man.
Yeah.
Like they would have been if Aaron Judge catches that ball, it's a whole different thing.
Completely different game. We're going back to LA and the pressure's all on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was in the top of the eighth where they got two sack flies to bring in their guys, and yeah, that was pretty much the ball game. Walker Buehler was able to pitch it out at the end. He got the two strikeouts
for that Weaver kid
and grounded to third.
The game before, he was throwing
fantastic.
He was playing great, and they were like, "Oh, if they take him out, they're already up by a lot. If they take him out in this inning,
save
they can
him.
Pitch him tomorrow."
Yeah.
And when he came in, I was like, "Okay, we still got a shot. They still got a shot." And then he just got dinged up, man.
Yeah. Got bing, bing, bing. Yeah. But yes, outside of that, we have another great sound. All right. So a little bit of a story, a little backstory here. So I co-run the Fulham in the South Twitter account. And every Saturday morning, I'm tweeting. And one day, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, two games ago, I got a straight response, reply from like a tweet from like 2022. This is way before I was a part of the account. But this guy was like, hey, I'm going to be in Atlanta for the Brentford game. Are you guys still meeting up here? And he was responding to the tweet. He was like, you guys still meeting up here to watch the games? And I was like, that's a Monday game. We're not going to be at our usual spots. We usually watch it from home and whatnot. And he was like, I'm coming from London, basically, and I'm going to be in town. I wanted to catch a game at a bar. So I was like, okay, let me hit up my boy Jason. I was like, Jason, Monday, where could one catch a game in the city? He told me Brewhouse Cafe, Little Five. So I DM'd the guy. I was like, hey, we're not going to be at the main regular spot, but if you want to meet up here, I can meet you up here. We can have a couple of beers, watch the game. He was like, all right, cool. So that was 2 weeks ago. Week's coming in. Today's the day. I hit him up. I'm like, yep, I'm going to be here at this time. Just I'll be wearing my Mitro jersey, unfortunately. And yeah, so I go, me and the lady go there. We make a little day out of it. We go to the bar, have some food, drinks. Game starting at 3. He's stuck in traffic because now he's telling me he's coming from Rome, Georgia, which is like an hour 25 from where we are sitting at that moment.
Jeez.
And I'm like, maybe this guy's not actually going to get here and I'm just going to be out with the lady, whatever. First half takes place. We give up a goal at about like the 25th, 27th minute or so. A goal where I kind of had to just sit there and be like, that was just a hell of a goal. There was nothing that we could have really done better. The guy hit it from outside the box, got it just behind Leno's arms, outstretched arms, and it was like, just a good goal, damn it. And we go into the half, down one, and we are in such command of the game, but we are getting nothing in the final third. They didn't start Traore, which I thought was good because I was like, hey, this Reese kid has been playing really well. Let's see what he can do from a starting position versus coming on as a sub. But he just had – it was funny. He had the same issues that Traore has, which is, you know, kind of get complacent in the final third. But it just looked smoother and less like a bull in a china shop. So that was the big difference. You kind of had the same result. But at about the 50th minute or so in the second half, Paul comes walking in and he's like, Joe, I'm like, yeah. So we shake hands and then he's there with somebody who's the driver because he's actually, funny enough, he was here for the Rome Film Festival. He's a film director. He works in film over in the UK. So we're just watching the game and, you know, we're shitting on like, damn, really great to be a fucking Fulham fan. And he's like, how did you become a Fulham fan? And I explained, we're just watching the game and we're just like, yeah, you know, the things with Marco, he's not going to bring anybody on until about the 70th minute. And then at the 65th minute, he makes some subs and it's like, oh, look at Marco. He's listening to this conversation apparently. And then he was like, who do we have on the bench? I'm like, you know, I was like, at that point, I think he was only bringing Traore in. And I was like, you know, we still got TC and Harry Wilson's on the bench, too. I was like, I'd like to see Harry come on because, you know, Harry, he's going to give you effort, if not anything else. So then at about the 70th or so minute, he brings on TC and Harry Wilson. And it's like, hey, look, we were just talking about them. Crazy. And we're still not getting anything done in the end. 90th minute, they add 6 minutes of extra time. The 92nd minute, Traore bangs in a cross. Harry Wilson flies into the box, throws his leg up. The ball ricochets off his leg, does this loop-de-loop over the keeper. He can't get to it. Boom, goal. We're going crazy. It's only like the four of us watching this game in the bar. There's people just in the bar. And we're just going crazy at fucking 4 in the afternoon. And it's like, wow, We got the equalizer. This is so great. Man, we got 4 minutes left of extra time. It would be great to get a game winner, but, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We'll take the tie
and get out of here.
Yeah, take the tie, you know, get you know, leave with some pride. Time is winding down. Some extra time. We knew some extra time was going to be given in the extra time because they did a substitution that they kind of like really milked. So even when you're milking that in the extra time, the referee's going to give you some more time. So now we're at 96 has hit the clock. And it's like, all right, this is going to be the final possession. You have to be in attacking position. If not, they're going to blow the whistle and call the game. We're moving the ball up the pitch. It's like, okay, you know, we got something going here. Moving it, coming from the back right, getting it to the front left. Eventually, the ball gets to Anthony Robinson. Anthony darts up. He's pushing it. And it's like, okay, maybe, you know, we can get some. He swings it inside. And who is there but the Welsh wizard himself, Harry Wilson, in prime position, locked into the ground, head bangs it into the back of the net. The goalkeeper doesn't know what just happened. We go bananas. Fulham walks out 2-1 victory. Amazing. Amazing. What a game. It was.
That's intense. It was so wonderful. As you were starting that story, I know they won this game because I get the updates. And then I was looking at the actual box score as it were.
Yeah,
the like,
time of the score.
Oh, this is insane. Because you said they added 6 minutes. And I go, but I'm looking at it, it says 90 plus
97th minute. Yeah. So he got the two goals both beyond the 90th minute, 90 plus two and then 90 plus seven. Spectacular comeback win there. The Harry Welsh Wilson wizard. Making a case for why he should be in the starting rotation. Fantastic game. Shout out to Paul. Really cool. Really cool. All right. Let's get out of here.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
All right, Brennan, where can we find you?
I am at Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I am producing a show, if you're in the New York area, November 20th, called Brennan and the Broken Toys. It's just Brennan and Friends, but I hate the fact that everyone's doing somebody so-and-so and Friends, so I call it Brennan and the Broken Toys at Grove 34, Wednesday, November 20th at 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them through Eventbrite, you can get them through my website, wherever you find that stuff. And check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Had a really big comic just reach out randomly to me to come on the show. So we're gaining some steam, getting some traction. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter and Instagram at Caring Press. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the network. That is Who Does a Podcast, which we just recorded. That is Anula, which we will record on Wednesday. Don't forget to check out my music on the moniker Headphone Jonah, Ono E in the phone. Don't forget to go to Etsy.com/shop/Headphone Joe. Again, the Ono E in the phone.
For the listeners, it's my favorite thing all week to watch Joe try to say that.
Try to recall everything I have to say. Specifically, get the Etsy thing out.
You always go, yo, you can find my stuff at Etsy.com/shop/.
Yeah, they don't really make that easy for me. But that is it. Let's hope we have a country tomorrow. Brennan, get us out of here. I got to go see how those 5 people in New Hampshire that vote at midnight every year goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Kareem Hunt coming through with the last second touchdown to lift me to a fantasy football victory.